Traders Point, how we doing? Hey, so good to be with you. Everyone watching online at the campuses, welcome. Pumped to be working through this series, Weeds in My Garden. And really, it's a series on mental health and what does God's word have to say about it? And that line, Weeds in My Garden, comes from a song by Kendall Inskeep, where she says, if I'm being honest, I'm not being honest. I'll give you roses just hoping you don't see the weeds in my garden. And we actually have a word for that. It's called dating, right? Like that's, why do you think guys show up with flowers on the first date? It's like, hey, look at this. Let's talk about how pretty you are for the next 2 hours. Don't ask me anything. It's just a joke, guys. I promise you, they already knew that's what you were doing. It's just more for you. But excited for today as we begin to just have a conversation around mental health and taking an honest look at it, right? I mean, I know it's coming up more in culture. Maybe you hear about more people are experiencing it. And I just want to give you an honest look at where our church is for a second. Not what's out there, but what's in here. We did a mental health survey right before Easter. And here's just some of the results that we got back. We surveyed roughly 5,000 people, and 92% said they knew someone struggling with mental health. 9% said they had no personal struggles, only 9%. And then today, we're really talking about worry and anxiety and depression. And here's the results that came back from those questions. When we asked, who's struggling with these things? Once again, 2,375 women said anxiety. And 958 were talking about depression. And then on the other side, the male side, 1,210 men raised their hand and said, anxiety and worry, I struggle with it. And depression, 504. So we see that this is something that's really impacting our church. And the thing is, it is getting bigger in culture. It's becoming more of the conversation. But what I want us to see is like it's in our culture, but it's not because of our culture. It happened way before any of us were here, like struggling with these things. It's a human condition. Even 2,000 years ago, Jesus was speaking on worry. Look at this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Look at this, 2,000 years ago, worry is there. And you know, I love the way that Jesus steps on the scene. He's like, hey, just don't worry about everyday life. And you're like, thanks, man. I should have started there. And then he's like, hey, don't worry about everyday life. And then he starts talking about birds. And maybe you're completely lost at this point. You're like, all right, I'm trying to go with you, man. Don't worry. And then look up at these birds. But what is he pointing to? He's pointing to the fact that God is sovereign. God is in control. God takes care of the birds. So he says, look up, raise your head up a little bit. I know you're worried about your life and your circumstances, but look at these birds. They don't plant, they don't harvest, and God takes care of them. In another part of scripture, it says, not a sparrow, not one falls to the ground without God knowing about it. And then he says, aren't you more valuable than a sparrow? What he's showing us is that, hey, God is sovereign, God is in control, God is good, God cares. That is going to be the answer to your worry and to your anxiety. Do you believe that? Do you see God that way? That he thinks that you are valuable. And I want everyone to be able to hear this today. You can struggle with anxiety. You can struggle with depression. And you can be a Christian. You can struggle with anxiety, you can struggle with depression, and that can be real. And it's also really true that God is with you in the midst of all of it, that God sees you and cares about you, and he says that you are valuable. Not the version of you that when you're free from the anxiety, not the version of you that when you no longer struggle with depression, the you right now is valuable to God. And he says that should bring us a peace. That should be an answer to our worries. But why do we worry? What is it that, why do we go over and over again? Why do we get so anxious? What do we think that we're going to get? I think it's control. There's so much in our lives that are outside of our control. There's so much that is unknown, things that we can't see. We don't know how it's going to shake out. But we believe this, that if we can just sit here and think about it a little bit longer, if we focus on it a little bit more, maybe the unknown will become known. Maybe the uncontrollable will become controllable. And what Jesus is saying here is, it's not gonna work. And speaking from someone who has struggled with being an anxious person their whole life, I can tell you, it takes more than it gives. And that's what he gets to at the end. He says, all of this worry, all of this anxiety, can it add one more day to your life? That's what we're hoping for with anxiety, is that it will add to, that it will be a net add, that if we just keep thinking, keep fixating on it, then we will have something more that we don't have right now. How many of us are in that space? Looking out, wondering, ruminating, trying to just get a little bit more, thinking that will be the thing, the more will be the thing that brings us peace. But didn't Jesus say, isn't life more than clothing? Isn't life more than food? So the answer to our peace, the answer to the ache that we're all feeling, it's not gonna be out there, it's gonna be in here. And what makes me believe this even more is the people that are coming to faith in this season. Maybe when you think about people coming to faith, you think about them coming to faith at rock bottom. They lost everything. They have nothing, and then they place their faith in Jesus. And that's true. That happens all the time. But I'll tell you what I see all the time now, too, is people coming to faith not at rock bottom, at their Everest. They lived their life. They did the things that they were supposed to do. They got more and more. They climbed that ladder all the way to the top, thinking there would be this space, this thin air up here where finally all of the anxiety would be gone. Finally, the depression would be gone. Finally, I would feel like I'm enough. And then they're standing on Everest and they realize they still feel anxious. They still feel depressed. They still feel like they don't have enough and they're not enough. And that's why Jesus is saying it won't be found out there, because life is more than any of those things that you can acquire. Life is found when you find your relationship with God, the one who is the creator of all things, including you, the one that cares about you, the one that says you are valuable. Finding your place there, that's when you find true peace. And I was thinking about how to talk about all these things, worry and anxiety and depression. What's the connecting piece that brings them all together? In this book I was reading, The Anxious Generation, they kind of classify them all into internalizing disorders. And here's what internalizing disorders are. They're disorders in which a person feels strong distress and experiences the symptoms inwardly, which for a lot of us, this is gonna begin to, like, I've heard some of this before, because when Jesus came, a lot of people were expecting him to change external circumstances, to be this kind of a Messiah, this kind of a leader. But what he came was with a message that was going to change us, transform us from the inside out. So the idea that if we're experiencing all this on the inside, anxiety, worry, depression, the answer isn't going to be something external. Is gonna be something that comes from within, that is not dependent on circumstances. Life is not about curating all of these perfect circumstances, finding the right season and trying not to move. It's about being with the one who is sovereign, the one who is in control, and the one that'll be with you every step of the way. And so what is anxiety? Let's just make sure we're all on the same page when we're talking about these words. Here's what anxiety is. Anxiety is related to fear, but is not the same thing. The Diagnostic Manual of Psychiatry defines fear as the emotional response to real or perceived imminent threat. whereas anxiety is anticipation of future threat. All right? So fear and anxiety, both good things. Fear and anxiety, both things that you need, they are built in, part of the survival mechanics of why we are still here. It's a good thing when you get into a situation and your body says fear, fear, fear. Like if you walked outside and there was a lion, your body would start telling you some things of like, hey, focus, hey, giddy up, like we need to start moving this way. Once again, anxiety, also helpful, that our brains are so brilliant that they can perceive what could be a threat and begin to work through how to solve that problem. Both of them are good. Fear is connected to this rapid alarm system that it begins to start moving all kinds of things in our brains, starts releasing hormones, does all of this. Anxiety is good as well when there's a perceived or real threat. The problem becomes when we get stuck in this perpetual state of distress, when the alarm doesn't stop going off. It's not that you're anxious because there's a lion there. You're anxious when you're just sitting at McAllister's trying to enjoy a Southwest chicken salad, and you can't turn it off. I got a word picture of this recently when my family, we were staying in a hotel, one room, all of us, which is always just such a great time. What could go wrong? Still, there's some of you don't know, I have a bunch of kids and they're all there, right? And we're sleeping and I wake up, and you know you wake up and you don't know what time it is. You know it's early, but it's like, how early is it? Is it early enough to get up, or is it, do I just try to go back to sleep? So I wake up, I touch my phone, it's 4:30, like right on the dot. I'm like, that's weird. But I guess I'll, you know, just sit here for a second and then get up. And I lay my head back on the pillow, and maybe a minute or two later, the fire alarm starts going off. You guys know what that, I don't need to do that for you. But that's the just to bring you into the room. Alarm's going off. And I'm like, am I still asleep? Like, am I dreaming or am I really awake? Is this happening? And I look over, my daughter sleeping in the bed next to me, and the alarms are going off. She wakes up. I've never seen her move faster. She throws the blanket, jumps out of bed, looks at me, and then does this. And then I promise you, she was stuck like that. It was like she was glitching, like just moving back and forth, not going anywhere. Her body was telling her, mind was telling, there is a threat, it is real, we need to do something, but she was stuck. In that fight, flight, or freeze, we all get to this space. We're all in the process of going through lives, and our brains are trying to, this tension of how resilient we are and the neglect that our brain is experiencing and how we navigate through all of this. When I saw that picture, I was like, that's anxiety. The alarms are going off, but I can't figure out what to do or where to go. And as we're all kind of jumping into this conversation, I want to be clear about mental health. Because I feel like sometimes it becomes a us versus them thing. Like, they have mental health. I'm doing pretty good right now. I either have it or I don't. I would put mental health on a spectrum. If we could put it on a spectrum that we are all on, all of us are somewhere along this line. Some of us are in a season where we're aware. Life is happening. We have good days. We have bad days. We have things that sit with us longer than they should, but we're able to work through that tension and experience the neglect and keep moving forward. But there's still, we could be better at it. We could handle our mental health better. There's more room for growth. And then I would say on the other end of the spectrum would be consumed. And some of you might be in a season like this right now, or you have been, where you're so consumed with the mental health, the anxiety, the depression, and the way I would describe it is it's happening for a long time and it's stopping you from living the life that you want to live. Right. You can't do that. You want to do them, but you can't do them. We are all somewhere on this spectrum. There's no arriving, right? If we think about mental health like we do all the other healths, like spiritual health, there's no arriving. Physical health, there's no arriving. You're gonna just show up one day of like, I think I'm done here. I'm physically fit. If that was the case, Pastor Aaron would have stopped working out like years ago. But he still wakes up every morning and does 30,000 rip curls and runs 10 miles, all right? So that tells me that there's still room to grow, and it's the same for our mental health. And so what I hope for today is that you would come to believe that this is a safe place where you can be honest about what you're going through. You can share your struggles. where you really are. And we've worked really hard as a team to provide those for you. So my hope is that you have this question in the back of your mind: what do I need? And we put together this website, tpcc.org/care. And it's everything. It's from, maybe you're in a space like, what I need in this moment, I don't even really know what I need, but I'd love to sit down with a pastor and just share where I am in this season, how I'm struggling. I need someone to pray for me. That's available there. Maybe you're like, I think I need like a licensed professional, a counselor. I just don't know where to start. On that website, we've vetted so many counselors, Christian-based, in this city and surrounding areas, that no matter where you live, we can probably get you connected to someone that's close. Or maybe you're in this season where you're like, I think that there may be like some kind of chemical imbalance. I think I may need some medication, whether that's for a season or for the foreseeable future. Our hope is that at the end of today, that you can raise your hand with courage and vulnerability and to be able to take steps into getting what you need, right? What I'm going to be preaching on right now is in Philippians chapter 4. It's one of the most famous verses that speaks directly to anxiety. And no matter where you are on that spectrum, I believe that God's word today is going to bring you help and hope no matter where you are, okay? So this is Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 4. And here's the thing. I don't know how much you know about how we got the Bible, where this scripture came from, but these are letters written to real churches. And a lot of times how they would send these, or why they would send these letters, is word would get back to them. People are struggling with this. People are doing this. What do you say? How do we move forward? So Paul knows a lot about the church in Philippi, and he's writing to respond to what he's heard. So chances are he's heard that the people are struggling with worry, that they have fears. So he writes them to bring God's wisdom and perspective to their problems. Same boat we're in. After looking at that mental survey, there's a lot of us that are struggling. What does God's word have to say? So pick up with me, Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And you're like, here we go again. Thought we were talking about worry, anxiety, and he says, have joy. What's the connection between joy and mental health? The connection between joy and anxiety and depression. Well, as I was studying for this message, I read a lot about, you know, mental health and how the brain works, neuroscience. And I think I understand, you know, just a little bit about it. I'm going to share that with you. But one book that I read was called The Other Half of the Church. And it talked all about the makeup of our brain from a neurotheologian, someone that studies brain science and theology. And he looks at how God made us, what God's word says, and now what science is catching up with. And what it looks at is our brains crave joy. They scan our surroundings for joy. Joy is one of these things that actually regulates the rest of our emotions. Joy is critical to our character development. And I want you to think about this. What's the opposite of joy? The opposite of joy is sad. Like, I think that's what a lot of us would say. Like, the opposite of joy is sadness. But that's not true, because you can be joyful and sad at the same time. You see, the opposite of joy is hopelessness. And when we begin to have the conversation about what mental health is, it's feeling hopeless. When we talk about depression, it's not that I feel sad. It's not that I don't feel right. It's that I live in that space for so long that I begin to believe that I will never feel right again. This darkness will always be with me. I am always going to be depressed and sad. You get to the bottom of that's where you get to this place of hopelessness, that I don't believe it's ever going to change. And what the Bible here is saying, did you see how it connected back? It says, be reminded that the Lord is coming soon. And somebody needs to hear that today. You're in this space where it's dark and it's heavy and you're wondering, is it ever going to feel better? You feel hopeless. I need you to hear the words right from the Bible. God sees you. God knows you. God believes that you are valuable right now in the darkness, in the depression. And then he said, but remember, one day the Lord is coming soon. There's coming a day. I'm not saying it's tomorrow or a month from now, but there's coming a day where the Lord is coming, where all pain will be gone, all depression, all anxiety, and you will be in perfect peace. Remember. And then he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It's like, I think I've heard this before. He said, just like Jesus, hey, no, don't worry about anything. Paul, he's doing the same thing. He doesn't just say, don't worry, just stop it. He says, here's what I want you to do. You have all of that energy that's going to those worries. All that energy that is bringing that anxiety to life. He says, I want you to take that, and I want you to shape your worries, and I want you to shape your anxiety, and I want you to turn them into prayers. There's so many people that are like, I wanna pray, I wanna talk to God, I just don't know what I would say. What I would say is, do you have any fears? Do you have any worries? Do you have any anxieties? Do you have anything that's keeping you down? Yeah, I got a lot of that. Then you can pray. Taking and shaping my worries that are gonna lead to anxiety, if I can take those worries and I can shape it and turn it into prayers, then I get to the hope that I'm really looking for. I get to the control that I'm really looking for. And here's what I wanna encourage you to do. Pray your fears. Pray your fears. A lot of times we try to pretend like we don't have the fears. We just try to stuff them down. We try to ignore them. But what if we could pray our prayers? Or if we could pray our fears? What if you came to that place and when those fears came, that was your trigger? That I'm gonna say, I'm gonna take this and I'm not gonna let it fester and turn into anxiety. I'm taking it to God. If you can worry, you can pray. If you can ruminate on all the negative thoughts, you can meditate on what God says. Yeah. And what if I could get to that place? And here's the difference that I would say. Anxiety is wrapped around the question of what if? What if? What if the darkness stays? What if the rain doesn't stop? What if they do leave? What if I don't get the money? What if they don't show up? What if my kids don't respond? What if, what if, what if? More anxiety, more worry. Prayer shifts it. Prayer turns it into even if. Even if the rain keeps coming, even if the fog doesn't lift, even if they don't show up, even if the money doesn't come through, I still have my faith and I have hope that my God is gonna come through. I have all that I need. It's different. He says, I want you to take all those worries, I want you to turn them into prayers. And then he says, tell God what you need and thank him for everything that he has done. And I want you to come in with me. And just from my experience, when I bring God all the things that I think I need, sometimes, I'm gonna hear this, sometimes he gives me what I think I need. And it is incredible. And there's this wild moment where I prayed for something and God gave me what I needed. But I would say far more than not, what happens is when I get in this space, when I'm praying, and I'm brought into this presence of a holy and good and powerful God, that it raises my eyes up and I see what I really need. And turns out the thing that I thought I needed, I didn't really need. I would like to have, it'd be good to have, but the thing I need is what I'm experiencing. I have this relationship with God and I know that he is with me through all of it. I love the way Steve Cuss talks about anxiety and he ties need to it. Look at the way he talks about it. He says, anything that you think you need that you don't actually need that prevents you from being present with God and with others. That's what anxiety is. I think I need something, then I don't get it, and I feel anxious. Like, that's the cycle. I want you to go there. This will happen this week. If you could picture the anxiety cycle. The first part that comes up, you're gonna be going through your day and you're gonna have this thing, I think I need something. In this moment, I feel like I need to be in control. I feel like I need to be liked. I feel like I need assurance. I feel like I need a sense of peace. And then what's gonna happen next? I don't get it. That's life. Like, that is most of our lives that we are experiencing. I think I need something. I really need something. Turns out I'm not going to get that something. Then I feel anxious. And anxious, some of us don't even have a vocabulary for what anxiety is. Anxious could feel, it feels different for different people, but for some, it's like a racing mind. It just keeps going and going. For some of us, it's a beating heart. It just beats out of our chest. For some of us, our bodies get tense, and a lot of times it's either in our stomach or kind of the back of our head, our neck. Like, I went through so much of my life of like, that's anxiety. I didn't know that was anxiety. I thought that was Tuesday. I thought we were all just worried all the time. There's a better way. And those can be just cues for us to know what to do. Like, we're going through life. We feel like we need something. We don't get it. Anxiety comes. You know, I was reminded of this just a couple weeks ago. I probably had the hardest day of ministry that I've ever had. And I love being a pastor. I love this part of it. I love studying and praying and preaching. But I love being with people. I love sitting in the hospital rooms. I love sitting in living rooms. It is the honor of my life to be pulled in to the hardest situations people will ever go through and to trust you in that moment. It's not missed on me, and I love it. And a lot of times it's life-giving for me to be able to sit in these spaces, but this wasn't one of those days. It was like a perfect storm, just one after another, just the heaviest and most complicated problems of cancer and death and loss and cheating and abuse. And it was one room after another, and I didn't feel like I was really helping at all. And I got to the end of the day, and I'm driving home, and I felt so low, and I felt so sad, and I felt so empty. And then I just started ruminating, which only made it worse. It was like, you should have been able to help those people more. You should have said this. You should have done this. What if you would have done that? And then you begin to believe all these lies in your head. And then I get home, and I walk through the door, and my whole family is in the kitchen. My wife's making dinner. The kids are bouncing around. There's music. There's dancing. And then I feel even worse because I know I can't meet them where they are. And now I'm about to mess up their night. And I sit down at the island, and I didn't even know what to do. So I just text my wife, and I just gave her the overview, just what I just gave you, all that I just sat through and how I was feeling. And she turned to me, and she said, "What do you need?" And I thought about it. I didn't know what I needed. I thought what I needed leading up to that moment was I needed to be better. I should have done better in those rooms. I should have brought those people more help. I should have been able to heal them. I should have been able to help them. I should have been able to do more. What I thought I needed was to be able to match the energy of my family. I thought I should be able to be strong enough to be able to leave that there and to come in and be joyful. But as I sat there with that question, I really didn't need any of those things. What I needed was to be able to say it out loud. What I needed was for her to see me. What I needed was to know that I could still belong even if I was in a crappy place. What I needed was to know that even at my lowest, that it was okay for me to ask for something even if I had nothing to give in return. That's what I needed, and that's what I got. As you're going through this week, I just want to put this question in front of you. As you begin to think, what are two or three things that I think I need, but I don't actually need? There's gonna be moments where that anxiety pops up, depression pops up, heart beats faster, your mind starts racing, your body starts tensing up. Trace it all the way back. What am I looking for here? What do I think that I need in this moment? And do I really need it? The next thing that he says is, hey, tell God what you need and then thank him for all that he has done. Did you catch that? Thank him for all that he has done. If I could say it this way, it is gratitude is the soil that joy grows in. If joy is what's connected to hope and joy is gonna be what I have when I have Jesus and all of these other things are trying to steal my joy, including anxiety and depression, I want to do everything I can to be grateful. And here's the secret to it. If you can go into your prayers, you're taking everything to God that you are telling him all the things that you need. If you can go into that prayer time already thankful, If you can be thankful and grateful before you get what you ask for, that's the secret. And it's possible because you have a God who is good and who cares and is all powerful. So hear this. When you sit down to pray, you're already grateful. And you're sitting down and you're gonna make all your needs known to God. And you're gonna pray for little things and big things. And here's the wild thing. God can do anything. There is nothing that is impossible for your God. So when you pray, he might just do it. He might just answer your prayers. But here's the thing, even if he doesn't, even if I pray to God and I share my heart and he doesn't give me what I think I need, I know that he's good, so I know that he has a good reason for why I'm not getting it. And I can be thankful and I can be saved and I can feel like he is with me in this moment because even though I didn't get it, my God has a good reason for it and he's gonna be with me in this next season. Gratitude. How many of our days start from a place of gratitude? Maybe you wake up and anxiety's already there for you. What's the day gonna bring? What do I need to do? How do I need to show up? What would it look like to have a gratitude journal? And some of you are like, I don't know about journals. Okay, call it what you want. Call it a gratitude log. Sometimes I just do it in my phone, my notes tab, and I just, in the mornings, just write down what are the things that God has already given me, the things that I already have to be grateful for. Think about how much of our lives are spent looking out, focused on what we don't have yet, the unknown and the uncertain, and that leads to more and more anxiety. Gratitude is based on the right now, the present moment, our reality, where I always have something to be grateful for because of who Jesus is. And what if I could spend my days not looking out there, that's coming, but what if I could be grounded and rooted in all the things that I'm grateful for? Doesn't that change things? Won't that change the way that you go throughout your day that I am grateful? Because look at this, when you're anxious, and you know this, it is very hard to be grateful for anything because you're looking at all the things that you don't have. When you're grateful, it is really hard to be anxious because you're just focused on how good you got it, what you have right now. You may not have everything, but you have a God that is with you who has already given good gifts. And if he's done it once, why won't he do it again? It's real that you are going through anxiety and depression, but it's just not what you need to focus on completely. There's a bigger truth. I love the way author and pastor Aaron Hoover says it. The truth I need to focus on is not that I'm not anxious. The truth that I need to focus on in my anxiety is he is still good. He is still good. And I'm telling you, that quote comes from one of Aaron Hoover's books. And a lot of you know that name. He's a pastor on staff here. He's on our executive team. But he's written two books, one for adults and one for kids. I cannot recommend them enough. Like, if you're looking for a book to help you with anxiety, depression, and Jesus, how to find hope and the truth in the midst of it, and you're looking for somebody, I've never experienced this like I did with this book, someone that is rooting for you and cheering for you and wants you to find that hope, there's nothing like that book. And then the other one, Lord, I Worry, it is great for kids, begins to give them language for how to process what they're feeling and what they're going through. So you can get both of those on Amazon. But I'd say that's one way. One way to begin to experience joy and gratitude is to thank God for all that he's done. The other thing that I would say to do is to make a life-giving list. This is also something that I got from Steve Cuss. It's just a list of every good gift God has ever given me. And then here's the thing. This week, I'm challenging you to it, and I pray that you take me up on it. Make a life-giving list. It may start with 10 things, 20 things. You could have 100, 200 things on there. And then make sure you experience a handful of these every day. Think once again how much of our lives are centered around this idea of what am I gonna do to experience joy? What am I gonna do to experience the good gifts God has given me? God has given you things. He wants you to have that. He wants you to experience joy. I heard a pastor talk this past week, and he says, it takes me 2 hours in the morning to become the man that I need to be during the day. What would it look like to start my day? I have my list of the things that I know bring me joy, and then I'm beginning to schedule out, not just all the things that I need to do for my work, for performance, for the job, for the family, but what are the things that I'm gonna do that are gonna fill me up? And there's gonna be some things that are super small, really quick. There's gonna be some things that are big. Some things you do every day, some things you do weekly, monthly, yearly. But build this list. And I'll just share with you a few that are on my list. One of them is, it's easy, it's making coffee in the morning. But like making it myself, like grinding the beans, watching it happen, it slows me down. It slows down my mind in a way that is really good for me. It brings me joy. One thing that brings me joy is when I come home from work at the end of the hard day. Usually I walk in, my wife is cooking dinner, and she will turn to me, she will open her arms, and she'll say, "Warm welcomes." And then I hug her for an inappropriate amount of time. And just until the kids are like screaming of like, "Gross, this is weird." That brings me so much joy in life. And it's a little thing, but it does it. Sitting at a table at dinner, my family table, we have 6 chairs at our table, and every single one of them are filled. Me, my wife, and my 4 kids. And for the longest time, there was this lie in the back of my mind that I would never have a wife, I would never have kids. And I sit down every single night and I realize how good God is. And I'm reminded of his goodness and his joy that he's brought me. Make a list and then make a point to do the things that are on your list. As God is a heavenly father, the thing that I know about being a father that I love doing is getting my kids gifts. I love that place when you give them something they weren't expecting or even that they asked for and you give it to them and it lights up. That's an amazing feeling. But when you give them something and they don't use it, they don't play with it, it just lays there, it's like, come on, man. But when you walk into a room, it makes the gift so much better and you appreciate it so much more when they're actually using it and they enjoy it. So begin to do a work in your life to say, it's important for my mental health to have things that bring me joy, and I am worth it. This is not an issue of being selfish. It's about stewardship, that you are gonna fill yourself up so that you can pour yourself out to serve other people. And then look at this, just to recap. He says, if you do this, if you are filled with joy, if you have gratitude, if you take everything to God and pray about everything, he says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. He says, you do all this slowly, God will begin to bring you all together. Anxiety, the word means to be in pieces. And what God is saying here, if you bring all of this to me, if you wrap your life and make me the most important thing, that I'm gonna make you whole and holy. I'm gonna take all the anxious and depressed parts, I'm gonna take all the divided thoughts and I'm gonna bring them together and I'm gonna guard your heart and mind. I'm gonna bring you to this space where you have one priority and it's to love me with everything you got. All your mind, all your strength, all your heart, every bit of you, and you're gonna see a shift. You're gonna know that I am with you and there's always going to be hope. That's what he says, that he will guard our hearts. The thing that I wanna put out there for everyone that's here today, and you're like, okay, I believe that, I think it's true, I know I need something. I sat down with a counselor a couple weeks ago and he gave me this truth, that the best chance at recovery is communal. You're thinking that maybe if it's just a little bit more time, maybe if I come to church a few more times, then this will kind of go away, then it will just naturally remove itself. Probably not. But my hope is that you find that this is the place where you can be honest about not being okay. And that your best chance at recovery is communal, when you bring it to God and when you bring it to other people. And for all of us that are gonna be sitting on the other sides of those conversations, when someone is brave enough and vulnerable enough to say, I'm struggling, I'm anxious, I'm depressed, what I would offer you is just this phrase, hold space. You're holding the space, you're creating a safe place, a sanitary place where they can come and share who they are and what they're going through. You're not there to solve the problem. You're not there to reduce or minimize it. You're not there to say it's really not that bad or you'll be okay or just keep going, champ. But what if someone sits down and they tell you what they're really going through and they say that there's like this thick fog that is sitting on me and it's so dark and I can't see out of it and I can't even breathe most of the time. Don't look at them and say, hey, look, there's no fog. It's not helpful. What you need to do in that space, when you're holding that space, is to try to imagine what it would be like if. What would it be like if you woke up with a fog that you couldn't see past? What would you do if you were so depressed and so just brought down and downcast that you couldn't even breathe? What would that be like? It doesn't matter if it's true. It's true to them. It's really happening to them. To hold that space and to create as much empathy as possible and to let them know they are not alone in this battle and that you will be with them and for them throughout all of it. That's how you hold space. And then for all of us in the room today, this whole talk has been about taking it to the one who is in control, taking it to the one that can actually do something with our anxiety and our depression. He is the one that can do that. But chances are, you have found a cheap substitute that is doing that as well. I'm telling you, if you ever see someone or meet someone that is struggling with addiction, you're probably looking at someone that is struggling with mental health. There's no alcohol that tastes that good. Imagine living your whole life and you were anxious and you were depressed and you felt low and you didn't feel like you fit in and you couldn't get your mind to stop and you couldn't get those feelings to go away, and then one day you got exposed to this thing. And then for a moment, it took it away. It alleviated it. It brought you peace that nothing else had ever brought you. And you thought, this is it. But all of you know the other side of that story is that it's good until it's not. And then whatever you place your cares and your worries on, it's only a matter of time before it takes more than it gives. Jesus is the only one that is trusted. Jesus is the only one that is found to be true. Jesus is the only one big enough and strong enough and willing to take on everything that you are experiencing. And it's not just that he can, it's that he wants to. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? Because he cares. Some of you almost gave up on faith. Some of you are on the fringe right now, stepping away because you said, hey, listen, I did this thing. I was struggling. They told me about Jesus. I took it to Jesus, and then I was still left with my anxiety. I still had depression. I still struggled with addictions. He didn't take it away. That's not what it said. He didn't say, bring me your cares and your worries, and I will take them away. Bring it all to me, and I'll give you exactly what you need. He said, bring it to me because I care, because I will be with you in the problem. And here's the thing, a lot of us are holding God responsible to promises he never made. He did not say he would take it all away. He said, I will be with you in the midst of it. The truth is to focus on not what you're happening isn't true, it is, but the truth is that God is with you and God is for you. The truth in the matter is that you are with the one that is in control, and that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear nothing because your God is with you. That's what we want to offer you today. There's no quick fixes. There's no magic wand. It's to come to this place, and I want to give my life, everything, my cares, my worry, everything about me, I want to lean it up against God. I want to place my faith in him. Not because he'll remove everything, not because he'll make my life perfect, but because he cares. How do I know he cares? Because of Jesus. God sent Jesus here, God's only son. Jesus lives the perfect life that me and you could never live. Faced every temptation, struggled with it all, and came out victorious. How much does he care? He went to war with the devil and won. He went to the cross, died on our behalf and won. Went to die and then resurrected 3 days later, defeating the power of sin and death, and came back on the other side and said, I'm not done. I want you to know that I'll be with you. I'm gonna give you my very spirit. And now me and you have an opportunity to have that. And if we have that spirit, there is nothing, no angel, no demon, no circumstance, no anxiety, no depression, no state of mental health that can take us away from him. He is with us. What I want to give you right now is a moment to place your faith in him, to give it all to the one who is in control. So right where you are at all of our campuses, would you just close your eyes, bow your heads, and pray this with me. Father, we come to you Because we believe you are good. We believe you are in control. We believe that all of the anxiety, all of the worry, all of the depression, it won't be answered with anything external. There's no amount of money. There's no resources that we can obtain. It's only found when we find peace in you. We have gratitude and joy in the fact that you made us, you created us, you're for us, you're with us, and that you are coming back. God, I pray for anyone today, God, that have placed their faith, they're right there. They want to believe. They're right there. God, I pray that this would be that day. God, I pray that every anxious thought, every fear, every worry would be met right now. Your Spirit would be there with them. That they would know that they don't have to wait for the fog to lift. They don't have to wait for the storm to be over. They don't have to wait to be better. They are valuable right now. You want them right now. God, I pray in this moment that they would give their lives to you, that they would believe you are who you say you are, and you will meet them in this moment, and you will never leave them. You will never abandon them. Father, be with us all this week as we look to get closer and closer to you and look more and more like you. It's in your perfect name we pray. Amen.